Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the Thursday of Tech Ed Europe 2012. Thank you all for coming out. In this session, we're going to be talking about branding and customizing my sites with SharePoint 2010. This is going to be a 300-level session. It's going to be a little unique because half of the session we're going to be talking about the branding piece of the my site. So there's going to be a lot of talk about from a design perspective and what it takes to make my sites look and feel like the rest of your custom branding. The other half of the session, we're going to spend some time talking about how to get that branding applied to your my sites and as well as do some other customizations to my sites. So half of it's going to be design, half of it's going to be some things for developers. So just by a show of hands in this room, how many developers do we have today? All right, good show of hands.
Good amount.
Do we have any designers here today?
All right.
Couple.
My three people. All right.
Awesome.
Good to go.
So again, 300 level session. In this session, we're going to be talking about how this whole idea around branding and customizing my sites. And we're going to start off by talking a little bit about social in the enterprise and the value that it presents. So we're going to start off with the basics there and talk about my sites, the different pieces that go together to make my sites. And those are really it's kind of important that we talk about that because of the way that my sites are set up. They're a little bit unique in the SharePoint space, so it's important to understand those different pieces so that we can then understand how to manipulate them and make them do the things that we want. From there, we'll jump in and we'll talk about branding. Whenever we go through the process of doing a custom effort for my sites, we always generally start with branding. It tends to be overwhelmingly the number one customization we do to my sites. So we'll start there. Randy's going to talk about what makes branding my sites unique, and then from there we'll move into talk about how we take that brand that gets created and how we get that applied to our my site, so that every time a user goes in and says to create a new my site, make sure that new branding is applied and everything looks as it's supposed to. And then from there, I would say the number two most common customization that we hear about is people want to control the deployment of web parts to the page in their my site, so that when a user goes in and requests a my site, that my site is created, it looks like it's supposed to, and we can control the different types of web parts that are on the page, if you have something custom or if you just want to remove the ones that are there out of the box. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to have some sample code. If you use Twitter and you're interested to participate in the conversation here and later, you can use the hashtag SPMySites. We'll be taking a look at that later. So interesting to see what anybody has to say.
Try to refrain from cursing if you can.
So just a quick introduction. My name is John Ross. I'm a SharePoint Server MVP. I am also the custom solutions lead for Rackspace Hosting. So for the longest time. Rackspace has been the world's leader in website hosting, but recently, a couple months ago, they acquired the previous company that we work for called SharePoint 911, and so now we're doing the same thing over with the good folks at Rackspace. So we're out in the exhibit hall if you want to come say hi after the session. We also do have a SharePoint 2010 branding book called Professional SharePoint 2010 Branding. So we don't really do too much talking about my sites there, but if you're interested to get more on the information on the branding side, a lot of the topics that Randy's going to be talking about specifically, there's some additional information in there. And there's my blog and my Twitter. I'll mention specifically the blog. There is some sample code. There's a CodePlex project as well as some other sample code that will be available from my blog. Well, it actually already is available, so after the session or during the session, if you're interested to take a look at the Visual Studio projects and such, feel free to go there, download the latest code, and help give you a jump start there. But I'm from Orlando, Florida in the United States, home of Walt Disney World.
So. Yeah, we both made the 8-hour trip over the other day.
So come over and visit us sometime.
So I'm Randy Driscoll. I'm the branding design lead at Rackspace. I was also formerly SharePoint 911, if you've ever heard of us. As John said, the various books go into, you'll see as we go through the slides, that we touch on the concept of master pages in CSS, but in an hour and 15, we're not really going to get too deep into how those things really work. And so if you want to learn more about those things, check out the book and my blog and Twitter, et cetera.
All right, so whenever we first did this presentation, the big question that came into my mind anyway was, you know, when we talk about my sites are a key social part of SharePoint. But a lot of times I hear from my clients where whenever my sites are proposed that they have resistance from their managers around whether or not social really has any value in the enterprise, because everybody knows about Facebook and they think of social as Facebook and Twitter. And a lot of times the idea is that in the enterprise that doesn't really have any value. You know, and I think that, you know, especially with the recent acquisition that Microsoft made of Yammer, you know, you can see that there absolutely is a lot of value in the enterprise. Microsoft believes it. And there's other, you know, there's other supporting evidence, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But social in general is, it's not simply Facebook. Social in a more broad sense is how we interact and share information with each other. And as companies are looking toward the future, they're using social as a way to find information as well as reuse it. Or, you know, it could be to locate colleagues. There's a number of different ways that you can think about this. And the best example that I give to anybody is that, let's say you're in your organization, let's say you've got social working properly, and you're looking for information on a topic. You know, one way you could do that is to go type into the search engine and you get search results back and, you know, you have your answer. But in other cases, maybe you don't know where to look. So reaching out to a social network is a great way to find information. Let's say you're starting a SharePoint project and you're not sure who else in your organization might have project management skills and work with social. And maybe you don't even know what search terms you might need to type in to get the information that you're looking for. But if you find that right person in your organization, that can help you find the information that much faster. But other more simple ways, I mean, I think we're all familiar with just the basic collaboration capabilities of SharePoint. So that is also a fundamental and basic way that people collaborate, and SharePoint's great at that. And so over time, we hope to be doing more of that. And, you know, for the longest time, like I said, it was this idea about the value of social in the enterprise that it was just a theory. You know, we think it's better. But now some colleges over in the United States worked together and came up with a study that determined that employees who are highly connected in their organization are $83,000, they generate $83,000 more in revenue per year than employees who are not as well connected.
How many euros is that?
I have no
idea.
A
good amount, I think.
More than 100,000.
Yeah.
Or no, I guess it would be, anyway.
Yeah.
but you know, this is just an example of just kind of the actual real return on investment that you're seeing from social. So from a SharePoint perspective, SharePoint Server, social is pervasive across all of the different ways that we collaborate, whether it's wikis, blogs, the team sites, and several other things. We're going to be primarily talking about the My Sites today, and My Sites themselves are the central hub for social in SharePoint 2010, and they open up a lot of doors to provide other information across the organization, such as news feeds and through personal profiles and things like that. So lots of different options, and I talked about helping to find colleagues. So it's more than just a fun tool for sharing information or for chatting with your friends. There's a lot of ways that social is driving real content to people to help them work better and help them work smarter. So when we think about My Sites in general, this is a little graph that I put together. Actually borrowed it from somebody, but essentially what you're looking at right here is kind of a breakdown of how My Sites are structured, and this is the little blocks are done purposefully, but at the bottom at the very bottom we've got our service application proxies, whether we're talking about our enterprise managed metadata, whether we've got our user profile application or search or potentially a custom one. Those are our service applications that you would find in central administration. And from there, related to those are going to be your My Site web applications. So in our examples, we would create a separate web application that would be called, have the URL like my.contoso.com or something similar. But that would be the web application that would host the content database and other related resources to that. That would be directly related to all of these search application proxies. So then within that web application, we would have some site collections. The primary site collection being the My Site host, so that whenever we go in and we say we're going to create My Sites, the first thing that you're going to need to do is you're going to make sure that you want to make sure you have a host. The host is important. That's kind of the landing page, I guess, that you're going to see for the most part. Whenever you click on, you know, to go to your My Site, it's going to take you to that host page. And so that host page actually services several of the pages above it. So above the pages that you see that are directly related to the My Site host and served up directly from the My Site host are the My News Feed, My Profile, and My Custom Page. And that's important to think about from a branding perspective because there's actually separate master pages that are being used by the My Site host and by the personal sites under the My Content. So everything on the My Site host uses one, and there are these separate pages. Randy's going to talk about that. Every time you click on the My Content link at the top of your My Site, it's actually going to create a personal site, or you know what is referred to as My Content. But these personal sites are all separate site collections for every user. So that's kind of one of the challenging parts about doing customizations in My Sites is that we have to work within this structure of the My Site host as well as all the personal sites that are being created and how we apply that branding dynamically so that whenever the new content site is created that everything gets applied. Out of the box, whenever we, by default, this is what the My Site host is going to look like. When you click on My Site at the top, this is what you're going to go to. There's nothing really very exciting about it. If you are interested in doing custom branding or you have a nicely branded intranet, you're probably going to go to this and you're probably going to say, this isn't really what we're looking for. We need something a little bit more. But, for some people, it might be okay. And if, to go even further, this is what the personal sites, and in a lot of ways, this looks really, really similar to what you'd expect to see from a team site. But really very, not too much difference.
The only big difference is at the top. You'll notice there's sort of some extra navigation up there.
And so a lot of times when people see this, they say this isn't what we're looking for. We're looking for something a little bit more custom. And so I like to use the example of, by default, SharePoint is like a suit that you would go to a store and just buy off the rack. And for a lot of people, that's okay. That works well. Everything works exactly like it's supposed to. But for other people, and there's many of us who in order to have that look the way that we want it to and to have it fit correctly, we need custom tailoring. There's a lot of different reasons why people would do this, and the most simple would be, perhaps you have a company, a very large company, and you want people, no matter where they are in your SharePoint site, you want them to identify with your company's brand. We work for a global company, and we work from Orlando. The rest of our company is in Texas or in London, and it would be customized branding as a way to say wherever your users are, you want them to still feel a part of the company no matter where they are in the world. Another way that they could do that customizations would help you out would be to improve usability. And that's something that Randy's going to talk about because we've all used SharePoint. There are aspects of it that could be more usable.
No.
And so through some of these customizations, there's ways that we can make the user experience better for users so that they can go out and they need less training and are generally just enjoy using SharePoint a little bit more. And then the final way would be to pretend you have custom web parts or pretend you have something that you want to drive more value to your users. Maybe you have sales people that are in your sales department and they have specific information about clients or something like that that they need to be able to see right on their My Site. You could make a custom web part and have that automatically deployed to their My Site so that everybody in sales would have the access to this specific information to drive more value so that all the tools that they need are right at their fingertips on their My Site. So lots of different options.
So here's a highly branded SharePoint site. This is actually one that Microsoft created, and they may be showing off somewhere here at TechEd. I'm not sure, but they showed it off at SharePoint conference, I know. And this one actually is for Office 365 SharePoint Online, but you could imagine it being on premises or your intranet or anything like that. But they have highly stylized, you know, they have the couch image at the top. They have sort of gradient for the navigation, and the search is completely customized. They have rotating elements, RSS. There's even something that's like bringing up Twitter feeds, etc. But you'll notice that in general, you know, it has this nice look with the red on the left and the blue at the top and the couch and the tan, etc. And then if you click over, we'll see what their My Site looks like. So in this case, you can see they took a good bit of the branding over from their main site, but it didn't take all of it, right? And so the point here is that the sort of middle of the page is the meat and potatoes of My Sites. It's the part that matters. It's the part that surfaces all the content. And so for the most part, as a UI person or a branding person, you're not really going to change the middle so much, unless you maybe add web parts, which we talk about later. You might change the colors and maybe the fonts, but you're not going to like rearrange like his picture on the right or anything like that, for the most part. But you'll see along the edges, you know, it's got the same tan. On the other one, if we had scrolled down, you'd see it had the rounded thing at the bottom, and you could see the navigation is the same and the couch is the same. So they've shared elements between them, and that's usually what most people do when they brand My Sites. And so here's where we come to sort of our real-world scenario. I use air quotes for our real-world scenario. John and I invented a company, Syrup and Bacon Breakfast Consultants, because we're both fascinated with breakfast, and that's good for Amsterdam because I think they like pancakes here a lot as well. And so, you know, they're a global consulting company that goes around and tastes food and tells companies how to improve the food, so to speak. And, you know, in our scenario, they already have a public-facing site that's been highly stylized, highly branded, but you know, the CEO wants to sort of implement My Sites in there. And the reason why she wants to have My Sites is she wants to help the employees to, you know, feel like they're connected, even though they're all the way around the world. You know, they can communicate with each other, share information, et cetera. But the out-of-the-box My Site experience, you know, it didn't match with the corporate branding. It wasn't very usable, et cetera. So we're going to look at some ways that we could implement this so that we can make it look nicer and improve usability. So here is our existing public-facing site for Syrup and Bacon, and you can, much like the previous one I showed you, it's highly stylized. We have a Twitter rotator, we have news rotator, we have our nice picture in the background, and colors and fonts and logos and navigation and all that. And if you click over real quick. So now we can talk about if we already have all that stuff, how are we going to turn that into My Site's branding? Well, it's very similar to how you would brand traditionally in SharePoint. You know, you have master pages that are used for the shell of the design. Some people call it the Chrome. You know, it's the, when you look at the navigation and the search and the sides and the bottom and all that kind of stuff, that's sort of the master page that houses everything. And then there's cascading style sheets, or CSS, which are used to style the elements, right? And we've already got all that because we've got a public-facing site, so we can reuse those elements when we go into My Sites. And so, like I said, so we could carry forward those existing branding elements. We carry forward the header, the background, the colors, the footer. But then we're going to have to do some things that are specific to My Sites. We're going to have to, you know, we may have to style that top bar that I showed you earlier. We may have to change the colors and fonts on that page. Maybe when we apply the branding, something doesn't look quite right in that middle area. We may have to massage that. But the point here is that you can decide how far you want to go with your My Sites branding. For some of our clients, it's just a matter of putting a logo at the top and changing some colors. That's enough for them. And for other of our clients, they really want to go, you know, full into it. They want to really have everything look completely different in the My Sites, and that's okay. It's up to you to decide what level you want to take this to. So John talked about the My Site host. The thing about the My Site host is that we all share it. So if I have a My Site and John has a My Site, when we go to the host and we look at our profile or we look at various things, we're all on the same site collection, and we all are seeing the same branding. And by default in SharePoint, it uses something called MySite.master to do the branding of that. And so, if you want to customize that, and let's say you only want to make a small amount of change, like I said, just add a logo, change a color, you could maybe copy MySite.master and then make a couple changes to that and apply it to the site, and you'd have you'd have a start of something that's decent. If you really want to change it a lot, though, much like in traditional branding, you probably don't want to just start with the My Site because it already has you know, the stuff that makes it blue and yellow and all that kind of stuff that Microsoft has in there. And so we have something called Starter Master Pages. And I have a few that I've uploaded to startermasterpages.codeplex.com. And there is one in there for my site host, which you can use. And there's also one in there you can use for the next section that we talk about. But essentially, it's sort of your white canvas, right? It's just a blank slate for you to add the branding in that you need, but it's got all the stuff that my sites need to run. And so, you know, you've got nothing you don't need, and you just add in your stuff and make it look like you want it to look. And then, you know, keep in mind that it has that navigation at the top that you'll need to contend with. And so when you click over to your personal site or your content site, it's actually not using that My Site.Master that we just talked about. If you look in the Master Page Gallery, and will in a second when I go into a demo, you'll see that there is actually a My Site.Master in there, which can be confusing, but it's not actually using that. It just uses V4.Master, which if any of you have done any branding or anything like that, that's just the regular master page that applies to any team site in SharePoint. And so essentially it really is just a team site. But you'll notice, again, that it has that same bar at the top. And we'll look at how it just uses the same master page, but yet it has that that navigation at the top. And so here's some tips before I go into any demos. So if you're going to do My Site's branding, you know, you're going to want to style that global navigation at the top, the outer shell, the colors. But, you know, again, I typically leave that inner area fairly similar to how it is normally. I don't go crazy changing it up. And one thing that, you know, a lot of people want to do when it comes to branding a site is to have a fixed width display instead of having it just stretch all the way across the browser. That's perfectly fine in a My Site, but you want to make sure that you leave enough width so that the various things can fit in there. Some of them take up a good bit of room. One of the ones that takes up a lot of room is this org chart here. You know, if you go with 980 pixels or so for a width, you're safe. Anything less than that, you may run into trouble. Another tip, which actually someone just emailed me about while I was here in Amsterdam, asking me why this was happening, but that global nav at the top that we saw, it's very tempting to say, well, that's not where I have my navigation for my site. I want to move that down to where the navigation normally is. I'm not exactly sure why, but SharePoint doesn't like when you do that. It's because it's tied to the ribbon in some way. When you move it down, it actually says, oh, well, I need it at the top, so I'm going to put it at the top, and I'm going to put it where you put it. And so you end up with two, and then you have to worry about styling one away. Very confusing. And the last thing I'll tell you about is the org chart there. Because it's silver light, you're not going to be able to just change the colors and everything in it. They just are what they are. So it's a very useful feature, that org chart, but you know, you're not really going to be able to brand it very much. But
it comes back down to a lot of what we say, and this is the general tip that we give to our clients or to anyone that we talk to at conferences, is that you know, you got to be careful of things that are really hard, and weigh whether or not the value of doing them is going to be worth it, because you could spend a whole lot of time doing some of these things, and you know, in some cases we sort of just make a decision to say, you know, the client probably doesn't want to spend the amount of time that it would take to make some of these subtle changes. But right now, Randy's going to go into his first demo
time.
To talk about a little bit about some of the stuff he's...
All right.
Show you some of the stuff he's been talking about.
So here's the website I was telling you about, Syrup and Bacon, their homepage. And you can see, just like I said, it's highly stylized, has a lot of moving parts. And you could imagine that some things in here make more sense in a My Site than others, right? There's absolutely probably no reason to have a news rotator and a Twitter feed rotator in your My Site, but you do probably want to keep the logo and the navigation colors, and maybe you want that background to appear in there, right? So imagine we've just created this branding, and we're in love with it, and we're happy with it, and you know, we want to go to see what our My Sites look like. Well, if I go here, you know, to where my name is, I'm logged in as administrator, but whoever you're logged in as, and you click on this, and you go to your My Sites, you'll see, you know, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb here. It has nothing to do with the rest of the colors that we had, you know. I don't know. Our CEO sometimes likes to nitpick on things. I don't know if yours does or whatever, but they look at this and they're like, well, it doesn't look like any of the rest of it. I can't use it, you know. And so that's sort of what we're talking about here, is how do we leverage those existing assets and sort of, you know, make our site, you know, branded or whatever. So the way we're going to take a look at it is we're going to do it in SharePoint Designer. And so I have SharePoint Designer open in a dev environment, a virtual machine, that kind of thing. I'm not doing this on the production site. Why? Because we all share this same host here, like I said. So if I go in here and I start changing things around, all of a sudden everybody's going to be like, my site looks weird.
And just to be clear, you know, he does often do a lot of this stuff on a demo environment where he has, you know, kind of some basic user information set up that he can go set it up. But in other cases, there's been times, and sometimes we'll recommend that you can do a lot of these same branding changes that you're going to be doing for my sites in like a team site or something like that. So if you wanted to just create like you didn't want to be making changes on your production my site, maybe you didn't have the right demo environment, you know, it's okay to spin up like a separate site collection or web application that's away from production that you can make your changes in in a way that's not going to cause any problems.
Sure. So what I've done here is I've opened up the site already in SharePoint Designer so that we don't have to do that. And I've just loaded up. You'll notice that I'm at the my.contoso.com. So in this case, I'm looking at the host or whatever, and it's our regular one is probably www or dev or in our case .contoso.com. This is what our My Sites one looks like. And what you can do here is either you can click on master pages in the site objects and you can see all the master pages. Another thing you can do is you can expand this all files out right here. You can either click this thumbtack to have it stay. And then if you look under, this gives you a view of your site collection. You can see here's catalogs, master page, and then you see everything that's loaded in there. And you could see that there is a v4.master, and there's also this mysite.master that I was telling you about. And here's the mysite. I've already got it open. I'll close this so we have a little bit more room. If you're familiar with what a v4.master looks like, or if you looked at a master page before, you'll see it's very similar. Like all Microsoft master pages, there's no comments to help you figure out what you're doing here. The ribbon is a good portion of it. Where it starts to get interesting is we get into the body of it right here. And you'll see, if you're used to how it usually works, you'll see that there's this class S4 die, which is kind of a weird naming for that. But essentially what they're doing is they're hiding all these things. So all these content placeholders that you may be used to in typical branding, they're just hiding them and not even using them. If it were me, I would probably have grouped them all into one hidden thing or what have you. But nonetheless, here they all are. So none of this is being used. It's just showing the title, and then it's not using any of this stuff. And there's a status bar, and then we get into the main area. You see there's some more hidden stuff with the S4 die. And then when you get to the bottom of it, actually, there's even more stuff that's hidden here. There's just a whole left panel that's hidden. So really, it's a typical master page, but it's just got a lot of stuff hidden, right? And so here is, where am I at here? Over here I've got my minimal one. My starter one is, where is it? Right here, starter my host.master. And I'll open it up real quick. And it looks similar, right? It's kind of very similar, but I have comments in here to help you figure out what's going on so you can kind of understand how it works. And then we got the ribbon is very much the same. And then we get into the main content. I tried to keep it a little more organized. It's just got the placeholder main. I put a copyright at the bottom that you can reuse. And then down here, I just put all of the content placeholders together that aren't used. That way, they're out of your way, and you don't have to worry about them, et cetera. And so the whole idea here is that we're going to take our existing branding that we've already created. I have a folder open here where some of it's at. And, you know, we already had a master page that we could use, and we already had a bunch of styles that we can use. So in this case, I've already got this syrup and bacon master right here. And, you know, what I could do is I could sort of merge these two things together. I take my starter, which is my white canvas, and then I take my formatting from my existing master page, you know, when I go down here past the ribbon and I get to where the actual content is, you know, I can start taking, you know, here's where all my divs are that style all this, my top holder, my width, my logo, and I can start putting that into my starter master page and start arranging things the way I want them to be on the page, right? And then the other part of it is all the images and CSS that I used to make that branding. And so for those, all I really have to do is I just added those exactly like they are to the style library. And so if I scroll down here, that style library is where we put all of our styles. There's a few places you can use, but the style library is nice because everyone has permissions to that folder. And so if I expand out the style library here, you see I have a syrup folder. And really, all I did was I just literally copied everything into here. I just dragged it from my folder over to syrup, and it just included them all, right? And right here is the style sheet that normally came with the normal branding. It's just got all of my formatting and styles and everything that make it look nice or what have you. And then what I usually do is, because my sites have some extra stuff in it, you're going to need some styles that are specific to the my sites. I usually include a second CSS file called mysite.css. And you'll see mine's pretty short. It's only 38 lines. And really all I'm doing here is just taking care of the things that you didn't have to normally take care of in your existing branding, right? So you kind of put those things together and you end up with a specific master page for your My Site, right? And so it's very similar to our old one. I left out the Twitter feeds and the rotators and all that because they aren't necessary for this. And you can see right here is where my normal styles come in through my CSS registration tag. And then right here, I just have a regular HTML CSS link, and I'm bringing in the My Site CSS, and I'm just making sure it comes after the normal CSS. So.
And again, if you're looking at some of this and Randy's clicking around and you'd like to take a closer look at this, you can pull down the files that are on my blog they don't deploy the exact same branding, but they deploy custom branding in a My Site that you would be able to take a look at some examples of this a little bit
exactly.
closer.
So let's say you've got it somewhat the way you want it. You want to see what it looks like on the page. One easy way to sort of apply this master page to the My Site is we can just go in here into the catalogs master page. And then if we go down to Sierra Post, that's the one that I'm working on here. If I right-click on it, I can say set as default master page. And I can right-click and I can say set as custom master page. And then when I've done that, I've actually applied it for everyone as our My Site host. And so when I click on this, you could see it kind of rearranges everything. And now we've got a good bit of branding in there that makes it look, you know, a little bit like the original site or what have you, right? But then that's great and all, but what if we go to My Content? What do we get then? Well, we're back to the blue site. And that's because of what John showed you earlier where, you know, there's a site collection that we all share for the host. And then every time somebody clicks on it and creates a new My Site, they're actually creating a new site just for themselves. And it doesn't automatically pick up any of the branding unless we do something extra like what he's going to talk about a little bit later. And so let's say we want to proof out our branding for this, right? Again, I'm in my dev environment. I'm going to be working on just my user here. And so what I need to do is I need to open up this site. You can see here, for us, it's personal/administrator is how we know we're on our site. And so I already have this open as well here. I've opened up, if you look at the top, if you look at the top, you'll see mykatosa.com/personal/administrator. So I've already got it open in here, and I've already got some things loaded up here. And you'll see, again, if we look in catalogs master page, you'll see there is actually mysite.master right there, just like I said there would be, but it's not being used. It's using this v4.master, which, if any of you have seen it, it looks exactly like a typical team site master page. And so if you remember correctly and we look at the top here, there's this stuff that isn't normally in a team site. So how does that get in there? What's interesting is it actually gets in there through something called a delegate control. And it's actually sitting right here on line 58, and I'll highlight it for you. And if you've never seen what a delegate control is, I'm not actually the best describer of a delegate control, but essentially it's a control that Microsoft has created, and they're saying here's going to be what we think the default content is that's going to go into this control. And it's going to be called global navigation. If you look on the server, there's a control on there that has the code that makes that navigation. And the reason why you don't normally see it on a team site is that your site definition isn't injecting that code into that delegate. But when you create a My Site, it does inject that code into the delegate, and then you see that area at the top. And so if you're going to style the personal site, it's very, very similar to our typical SharePoint branding. I literally just use the exact same master page, the exact same CSS. In my case, I cleaned it up again and took out the Twitter and all that kind of jQuery stuff that's not needed. The only thing you really have to worry about is that top bar that you have to contend with styling. And so for that, you can use my typical starter master page for collaboration type stuff, and you can create your master page for the content. And so here is that. Actually, I already have it open right here. Again, looks very similar to my regular site branding, except for you'll see after I pull in the style. Again, I have another file here called mysite.css, and it's very similar to the last one. And so again, I just dragged in all my styles that I was already using, and all my images and everything. And then we have this mysite.css file, which looks a lot like the last one. You know, and you can see here where I'm styling some of that global navigation, changing the background color to black, adding a border, doing some height. I'm changing some colors of some fonts. I'm maybe hiding some things, etc. But really, there's not a lot of work to doing the personal site version of this. And so again, if I want to see what it looks like, I can right-click on it, set as default, set as custom. And now when I go back here and I hit refresh, we've got something that kind of looks like something, right? But if we were to load up John's My Site, he's still going to be on the blue look and feel. So that's something that down the road in this demo, in the session, he's going to show you how do we handle that situation where everybody's got a different styled My Site. So if you switch back. So that's sort of one way of branding. But another thing that people often want to do in My Sites is they want to change what that navigation looks like in the top bar. And they also sometimes want to change what the navigation looks like in the overview, the profile page. And so it's actually very easy. If you have site collection admin rights on the My Site host, you can actually just go in to site settings, site action site settings, and then go to under look and feel, you'll see top link bar, which if you've ever used a team site, it's the same thing that a team site uses. And if you just go in there, you can actually add links in there and change some of the naming around and stuff like that. So you can easily add in navigation items, and then everyone will see them in their host, even the people that aren't the admin. And then again, on the profile, this is the one that's in the middle of the page there. What's weird about this one is it uses site actions look and feel quick launch, which, if any of you know, that's the left nav normally. So they're actually using what you see as a left nav horizontally on the page in the host, and you can just add links in there the same way you normally could. So what if you want to sort of take that to the next level? What if you want to add a logo to that top bar, like you see in the screenshot here? Or what if you want to, like we've had clients say, well, there's a find people search in there. I want to add a regular search in there. I want to add a link back up to the root of our site collection. Or I want to add some custom control that our developers have come up with, right? I want to add that in there. Well, a lot of times in a typical branding scenario, you might just edit your master page and just say, well, around here in the master page, I want to inject this control, right? You can't do that in a My Site. And the reason why is that delegate control I showed you. If you remember, it was just one line and it said, we're going to bring in this delegate control. So you can't just like bolt stuff into that, into the master page. So what you have to do is you're going to actually have to create a feature that overrides the delegate control. So I said that there's a default, so Microsoft has the default to what that delegate control is, which is what you see there. What we're going to do in our demo in a second is we're going to make a copy of that control, and then we have a feature that's going to say, my version of the control takes priority over Microsoft's version of that control. And we're just going to add, so all we're going to simply do is add a logo into it for our demo. So is it demo time?
It is demo time.
All right. Okay, so this gets a little bit codey here, right, because we have a feature. And I'm not great at features or whatever, but I'm going to show you one that's already created that loads this in. And so if we look on our server here, you know, we're all familiar with the 14 folder. If we go into the 14 folder and we look at template control templates, right, that's actually where the control is that overrides that delegate control. And it's actually right here. It's called My Site Top Navigation. And if I open this up in Notepad++, my favorite text editor, you'll see that it's fairly similar to how other stuff looks in SharePoint. We've got some CSS coming in there, and then we've got some divs, et cetera, et cetera. We actually have another delegate control inside of it. But then there's the welcome menu is in there. The developer dashboard is in there. And then you'll see here there's a link in there. And then right here is where the navigation comes in. Remember we saw navigation in there? That's where the navigation comes in, ASP menu and the data source. And then right here is where that people search was. So fairly straightforward. That's what we're going to make a copy of, and then we're going to add our own stuff to it, and we're going to make a feature out of it. And so what I've done is I've made a folder right here, custom My Site Nav, and I made a copy of that, and I pasted it in there, and then I edited it. And I just added into that the logo that I want to have appear in there. So if we scroll down here to right about here, you'll see here I added my own div. I usually add custom to my own divs just so I know they're mine. And I say logo My Site, and then I did a SharePoint link button. And I'm going to link our users back to our homepage, which in our case is dev.contoso.com because we're working in a dev environment. And then we have a site logo image and a URL. So we're going to pull this in from the style library from that CRP folder, logo mysite.png, and then I have a title on it. And then we just close all that out. So all we're really doing, just adding that logo in that's already existing in the style library. And so to make that happen, we need to have a feature that will activate that. And so I have one that's already created, and so it's in 14 template features, where features go. And it's a very, very simple feature. It's my kind of feature. It's not a developer feature. There's an elements file and a feature file, right? So if I look at the elements, actually we'll look at the feature file first. All the feature file does is just give the feature a name, in this case custom My Site Navigation feature, gives it a description, gives it a version, tells if it's hidden, tells where it's scoped, and then this is just some stuff to tell it what the language of this XML file is. So really the only thing this feature does is call in this elements.xml file. If we open up the elements.xml file, all that really does is say that we're going to have a control on this page. It's going to be called global navigation, which if you remember correctly, over here in our my site here on, where was it? Actually, let's look here. Right there on line 58, we had a delegate control. It had a control ID of global navigation. That matches up exactly with what this control ID here is. The sequence number is what tells it it's more important than the out-of-the-box one. I forget what the out-of-the-box one is numbered, but it's lower than 10. So this is higher, so it knows I take priority. And then all it does is it says what it's going to put into that delegate control is that ASCX control I just showed you, which was in custom my site nav, custom my site nav.ascx. All the feature is going to do is say, put that in there. And so I've already compiled that feature. I've already loaded it onto my server. And if we go to up to the host here, if I go to site actions, site settings, and I go over here to manage site features, you'll see right here is exactly what I showed you in that file was named custom my site navigation feature. If I activate that, you're going to see what's going to happen is I did some CSS to hide the logo right here, and you'll see it move up to there or whatever. So let me click that, and you'll see what happens there. So it just hides it, boom. It's very exciting stuff, I know. But we added a logo, and it also now takes us back to the home of the site. So it was sort of that easy to sort of create that feature.
And when we talk about usability, I mean, this is one of the primary things that we talk about with respect to customizing user interface in My Sites is that when you're in My Sites, there's often, you know, not really a link that'll go back to your intranet homepage or your, you know, internet homepage. So adding that is a huge thing for a lot of our users.
Yep. So.
All right.
Now is the part where we go even deeper.
Yeah. So now we're going to switch over and we're going to talk about now Randy's gone in. He's made our My Sites look beautiful. It everything does exactly what we're hoping to do. And we're really happy that, you know, the CEO is really happy that the brand is on all of our My Sites or
it's only
potentially, it looks great, but how do we get it to all of our users? So we need to make sure that not only is the branding deployed to where it needs to go, we need to make sure that the master page master pages that we talked about are automatically applied whenever the new site is created, and have all of this happen at the time that the personal site is provisioned. So how do we do that? Well, I'm not really going to go into all of the specific details that go into each one of these steps because I think I would put everybody to sleep. So I'm going to do my best to kind of talk it at a high level, and we'll kind of jump in and look at some of the most important parts. But the first part about all of this would be to take the branding that we've created. Normally what would happen is Randy would take all those files that he's been showing you, and he would put them he would send them over to me in some way. Normally he zips them up or something like that. He'll send them over to me.
I'm lucky that I have John to handle this for me. If you don't have a John, you may have to do it yourself.
So I'll take all those files and I'll put it in a feature. And the feature is what is actually going to be the mechanism that's going to get those files directly into SharePoint, into the style library, into the master page gallery. But from there, in order to get that, that feature will do the work, but I still initially have to click a button. So in order to make that happen automatically, or at least in order to have the master page switch once the files are moved, I'm going to create a feature receiver. So the feature receiver, once activated, will actually switch the master page, which has the reference to the CSS, which will make it look like what Randy did manually with SharePoint Designer. And from there, we're going to use what's called a feature stapler. And the feature staple, once the personal site is provisioned, will see the template that's being called and will automatically do step one and step two for us automatically just whenever it sees the new template is created. And then step four, we're going to deploy all of this. We're going to pull it all together in a WSP that would be deployed at the farm level. by your administrators so this would be something that once activated, it would be something that that would just work for everybody. So what are the various moving parts? Well, in my Visual Studio solution, which like I said, you can go to my blog and download download some examples. There's also an example on CodePlex, which I'll give you a link to later. We have a branding feature in there that's really very very much not different from what we would typically do to deploy branding in any other for any other application. What we in this case, though, the branding feature is scoped at the web level. So for our developers, that means something for if you're not if you're not particularly familiar with features, web would be the individual say website itself. And from a developer perspective, something scoped at the site would be site collection. In this case, scoped at web. We have various modules that are going to deploy those files to the folders that we need to. Like I said, master page gallery, style library. And we have the feature receiver that deploys the master page. Then we have the feature staple that goes ahead and is associated with a personal site template with the name SPSPERS number 0. All that's really telling us, that's just the out-of-the-box template for personal sites. So by stapling it, we don't have to modify it. We can just associate our features in a very non-destructive way. So if you've never seen a feature staple, there's really not much to it. This is pretty much all there is. There's a feature, and the feature calls an element, and the element.xml file, kind of similar to what Randy was showing you, is basically one line that looks like this. The two things that are worth noting on this example are the parts that are highlighted in blue. It may be a bit tough to read. I apologize for that. The ID that it refers to is the ID of the feature that you would use that would actually do the switching of the master page. So, in order to get that in Visual Studio, you can just find your feature that does the switching of the master page. Look at the properties, grab the ID, and put it in here, and that'll take care of what you need. And then for the template name, that's just saying what is the name of the template that we're going to be stapling this other feature to, so that when it's created, that will be what will be called. So in this case, like I said, SPSPERS number 0 is the ID of the out-of-the-box personal site. All right, so
demo time.
So to kind of illustrate some of these examples, what I wanted to show was just kind of what I was talking about in terms of deploying the branding only at this point. So what we're looking at right now is Visual Studio. Here is, if we go back over, this is just kind of a basic team site. Like we say, a lot of times we'll do some of our My Site customizations in a team site because it's a little bit easier. But if you look at my Visual Studio project itself here, there's not really anything too crazy about it. I've specifically set this up a little bit easier for demonstration purposes. I have a couple different features that do things that I would usually combine into one. But essentially, all we have is we've got our elements files, which are set up similar to this, where we've got a module and we reference a URL and a path, and then we just pass in all the various custom files that are needed. And you can see this one is going to the style library. And then
this is all the stuff that I put in manually. I dragged over to the style library. Now he's got to bring it up in code and make it appear in the site.
And then we have a separate feature that's deploying the master pages. So all of this is fairly basic. And then from here, there's an event receiver that we've created that actually switches the master page. And there's really nothing much to it. If you've ever created a feature before in Visual Studio, under the feature activated event, you'll notice that really all we're doing is we're just getting a handle on the URL of the current web that we're in. We're going to set a variable. And then all we're going to do is we're just going to say, we're going to set a variable for the name of the master page that we want to switch. We're going to set those variables to both our master page URL and our custom master URL. Again, this is what Randy demonstrated by manually clicking.
This is what I right-clicked on and I applied.
So when this is activated, this is going to fire. It's going to change this. It's going to update it, and everything is going to be deployed. So just to kind of show you what that looks like, by default, this is what my site is going to look like. It looks very basic. And just to kind of prove that there's no funny business going on, if I go into master pages and the master page gallery, you'll notice that I have no custom master pages here. If I go under my View All Site Content under Style Library, you'll notice there's no folders here. So if I go in and I go under Site Actions, and I go to Manage Site Features. First, I'm going to want to move my files. So if I click Activate, that's going to move my files. And if I go under View All Site Content Style Library, you'll see that I now have created a folder here that's under the Style Library. And you'll notice that if I go under the Master Page Gallery, now we have our custom master pages here. But nothing's happened at this point. We've just moved the files out, and so we've done half of what it is that we're looking to do. Now, if I activate the Switch Master Page, now the look and feel has automatically changed. And this is great.
It's pretty great.
But the problem is that we want it to happen automatically. And so in order to do it automatically, that's where we need our feature receiver. Our feature staple. So this is our feature staple. Again, nothing really too exciting. So the way that what we would have to do here is go ahead, get this all set up, and I'll kind of talk about this a little bit more. But there's essentially what this does when we activate this this would actually be scoped at the web application level, so that when it's deployed, it makes sure that your admin would have to go in and, you know, make sure that it was all set up and good to go there. But once it's all set up, by the feature staple being scoped at the web application level, it means that all the site collections that are created within that web application itself can have this feature fire. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to come back and kind of show you a little bit more active demo of extending this. But essentially, what you can expect is that once this is created and once we click on the My Site, the branding is going to be automatically applied. And just for the purposes of the demonstration, so that we're not just iterating and watching me create personal sites all over the place, I'm going to kind of save that up for, I'm going to show you the creation in just a second here. But if you're interested to get some more information about some of the things that I was just talking about, there's a couple great resources here. The first one I want to point out, deploying branding solutions for SharePoint 2010 using Sandbox Solutions. Just quick note, I know it says it's for Sandbox Solutions, but the concepts that are written about in this paper, it's written by SharePoint MVP Ted Pattison. A lot of the things that we're talking about, completely applicable. So if you did want to just use it for information and you did want to create something similar, you could easily do that. Just make sure that when you create your deployments, you just don't set it as a Sandbox solution. It's pretty simple.
It's a one-clicker, right?
It is. Yeah. So if you're interested in getting more information about feature stapling, like I said, there's really not much to it, but here's an article from MSDN that can take a look. For general branding whenever I normally go through that, I will generally use CKS Dev, which are extensions for Visual Studio 2010. You can take a look at that. There is actually a custom module, basically, that's created for branding that I use normally. That has the event receivers and things like that already set up, so I don't have to manually recode that every single time I want to do a deployment. So from a branding perspective and for anything else dev stuff, it is an excellent resource, so please check out that awesome work that those guys have done. But once we've deployed the branding, that's kind of half the battle. And if all you're interested in doing is deploying branding, you know, again, check out the CodePlex project that I'm going to give you a link later. There is a sample that only shows you how to deploy just the branding. But if you want to do more, the next most common thing that people want to do is they want to control the web parts that are being deployed to their various My Sites. So at provision, we want to remove something. We want to add something. We want to, you know, delete something. Those are things that we can do. And the way that we do it is a little bit tricky. And the reason is because if we were to, some of you devs may be thinking, oh, you can just create a feature receiver or an event receiver and just have it fire. Well, the problem there is there's a timing issue, because we need to ensure that the work that we're doing to deploy or manipulate the web parts, it can't actually fire until the My Site has been provisioned itself. So we have to come up with a method that we can guarantee that the personal site will be provisioned before we execute our code. So the way that it can be done, and this method was first talked about by Steve Peschka in a blog post for SharePoint 2007, where he came up with this idea of embedding a server control into the master page. So what happens is that we embed, essentially we just register a bit of code, and we have one little line in the master page that calls our server control. So what happens? Personal site is provisioned. First time it's loaded, What happens is it runs and executes the code. We guarantee that the page is there because it has to be there or else it wouldn't run. And it allows us to do everything that we need to do. We can make sure that there is a check that's built in there to make sure that it doesn't continue to fire every time we reload it. But here's kind of a visualization of kind of everything that's happening from a developer perspective or even a non-developer perspective. I wanted to break it down a little bit more specifically. It's a little bit more, I think, easy to digest as opposed to looking through code. But, you know, essentially the page loads. We check to see if it's the first time that the server control had ever run, assuming it is. We're going to get a reference to the default.aspx, the page itself that we're looking at. We're going to get a handle on the web part manager. And then from the web part manager, once we get a handle on that, we're going to get instructions from an XML file that we've created that is essentially a configuration file, which I'll show you in just a minute. In that XML file is a schema that defines the names and the assemblies of the various web parts that we're looking to manipulate. And there's instructions on what we want to do with them, whether we want to add, move, or delete. So once we have that information, we build a hash table of all of those web parts together that we're looking to manipulate, and we apply them to our web parts. So we move them around, do whatever it is, and then we set a flag to say, don't do that again. You know, we don't want to continue to do this every time we load, because that would make no sense.
We want to have like 50 web parts in each area.
That would make no sense. So, you know, this whole process of doing this, actually, you know, Steve Peschke did a really great job of kind of getting all of this set up. But the way his was set up only worked in SharePoint 2007. So we went ahead and updated it to 2010. You know, but full credit for him and all the hard work that he did. But essentially, this is you know, we've got this this CS file that really there's not really anything too crazy going on here. But you know, I was able to take a lot of his code, and we did do some upgrades, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. But essentially, all he's doing is exactly what I was talking about. So if we go back over here to the my site. So Randy gave me this file. I took it, and all I did is I just registered the server control, and then I added it here. That's really all there is. And so once this runs, it's going to fire our partcheck.css. Please pull it down and take a look at everything that's going.
So that's the part that makes sure it only runs once, basically.
Correct. Yeah. So I mean, there's not. It's pretty well commented, and you can take a look from here. Here's our XML file, and as you can see, there's some information. We've got some various tags, and here's kind of where all the work is done. So for each one of these, we just specify the assembly name. That's pretty easy to get if you're ever looking to leverage any of the out-of-the-box stuff. It's pretty easy to track some of this information down. Or if you have a custom one, you can do that as well. So you go ahead, you pass in the assembly, the class. You tell what zone on the my site that you want to put it in. You set the index, meaning like where does it sit on within the zone. Just a tip here, if you're looking to kind of set stuff, I generally go by tens. So 10, 20, 30, et cetera, because sometimes later on we may want to change our mind, and it's a whole lot easier to just, to add an 11 in between.
Then rewrite all of them.
It becomes a huge mess. So go by tens there. We got some other information, and if you're looking to kind of get some more information about this scheme and how it's set up, you can take a look at the Code Project. There is again, Steve Peschke did some great documentation around some of the schema. And he's got a several page Word document you can take a look at. But that's pretty much all there is. So once we deploy that, it goes ahead and it creates our my site, and everything as it is. It is. And so I've got a demo in just one second where I'm actually going to create some of this and kind of show this all in action, but the whole process is just very.
There's no reason to do it three times.
It's very repetitive, and you don't want to sit here and watch little progress bars up on the screen. So let's say you've gone ahead and you've done all of this deployment. Where do you want to go from there? Well, in our scenario, the scenario that we were thinking of is that we have salespeople and we have people in IT, and clearly the IT people want to get all of the good stuff in the site. And the sales guys, they need something more.
They need like sports report.
Yeah,
like
they need something else. Yeah. So, how could we do that? Well, what we can do is we come up with a way to extend this deployment mechanism that we were talking about for deploying web parts and allow it to be smart enough to look at the user profile and look at a value in the user profile, and based on that value, do different things.
So the four designers in the audience, you can tune out now. This is where we go into like even heavier code stuff if you haven't already.
So what's different in this whole process? As you can see, not much, but I've conveniently tagged the difference with a star in the center there, that we've added a check to the user profile in the center there. So once we get a handle on the web part manager, we're going to do a check to the user profile for the individual user that's accessing the My Site or that's creating the My Site. And then based on the value that is in their user profile for their, you know, whatever it is that they have, we happen to be looking for, we're going to go ahead and do something. And so we've added some information to our that I'll point out right now. I keep using the wrong machine over here. So we've added a couple additional properties here, like these, where we're adding a user profile property, which in this case is department. You can specify whatever the value is that you want for a user profile property, whether you want to use department, maybe you want to use a custom property or something else, a country or something like that. You can do that. And then we have another one where we say the property value. So in this case, we're saying for IT users, we're going to do one thing. And then for other users, we're going to, you know, for the sales department, we're going to do something else. And so to kind of show you, now we're going to kind of show the actual demo of how all of this is supposed to work. So I'm going to sign in as Randy here. And Randy is in the IT department.
I am.
I'm in the sales department, apparently.
Of course.
So if you can see here, this if I wanted to go ahead and I wanted to click on my site, I would just click on my content, and this is what I was trying to prevent you guys from seeing 100 times in this presentation, so I apologize. Please bear with me.
We need elevator music to play.
Yeah. So once this is created, you can see that that my custom branding is applied, and one of the things you'll notice about the custom branding is that because Randy is in the IT department, it shows up in the upper right-hand corner there as being in the IT department.
You could have added something interesting in there.
I could have added something into it, but the demo gods weren't very kind. But just to kind of prove that, you know, I wasn't really making some of this stuff up. If we go back over to, the administrator page, which is here, you'll notice that the administrator page, which is a different user than I'm logged in over here. You'll notice that I've actually set some of the parameters to move things around, so there's different web parts in different places. And so if we were to actually go in, and if I were to sign in just to prove again that we're not pulling any punches and there's no funny business here. Let's see here. I'm probably going to have to close this real quick because it likes to hang on to this. But let's do this real quick. I'll go in here. I'll log in as myself. And now in this case, I'm going to create this, and I'm in the sales department, remember. Going into the exact same site, I just changed my login. So now it knows that I'm in the sales department, so it deploys me, different web part at the right. So you can extend this. I mean, I've done a very simple example here where we're just deploying a single web part, in this case, in the right column. And for this example, I also moved the recent blog post over to the right. But you could do a lot more robust things if you wanted to. So if you had multiple departments, or maybe the sales department needed 5 web parts and the IT department needed 10 web parts, all of those things are configurable through that schema that I showed you. And like I said, it's all available for download if you're looking to get more information about it. So where can you get this wonderful CodePlex project? Check it out. It's sp2010mysite.codeplex.com. Take a look at that, and it's got the two examples. It's got just the My Site version that just deploys the branding. If you want the part check piece, that's there as well. There's separate downloads. It's got the Visual Studio code so that you can pull it down and extend it. I will say that the last time I gave this presentation, I had a friend of mine said that he's an architect for a very large company, and he said one of his developers actually quoted my presentation and said, "Hey, I'm gonna, you know, my one of my guys said that we should use this to deploy to like, you know, 100,000 users, and so if it doesn't work, you're gonna be in trouble." And I kind of said, well, you know, this is meant to be kind of an example. And it will work in production scenarios, but I would suggest that before you put it into production, you talk through all the different type of things that you're looking at. But this type of concept can definitely be extended to make it more robust. And so if you're interested in doing that, I think it's a great starting point. We found one of the reasons why we did this presentation and why we did the CodePlex project was when we first started doing some of this, we found out how little information there was on this subject. So please feel free to check it out. But in summary, social networking is really an enterprise. There's a ton of value in the enterprise, and there's tons of real measurable value. My sites are the backbone in SharePoint 2010 of the social experience, and really customizing the My Sites helps you unleash a lot of that value. Branding helps users feel at home, and controlling the web part deployment really adds a ton of additional value. If you're looking to get in touch with us, like we said, we're going to be out in the exhibit hall. Come stop by the Rackspace booth and say hi. Here's our blog, our blogs, Twitter, and email. Feel free to pull down the deck and reach out to us after the session. We'll be up here if you have any questions. And also, please be sure to fill out your evaluations. But thank you all. Enjoy the rest of the week at TechEd here. Thanks.